Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you for the opportunity to worship you together through song. Lord God, we know that you are with us wherever we are. We thank you for your sense of presence this morning. Heavenly Father, as we come to this time where we are going to open your word and study your word and learn from your word, I pray that you would open our eyes to see clearly, that you would open our hearts to be willing to allow what we see and read and learn this morning to really enter into us and who we are and how we live our lives. May we be a people, Lord God, that live our lives trusting you in all circumstances. Lord God, again, we thank you for this time of worshiping you together. It's in your holy name we pray. Amen. Just one word. Pastor Larry mentioned this morning that these are out on the table for those of you that are worshiping with us. As he was talking about that, I thought there are probably some folks at home that would like to get a copy of this, The Greatest Love, 10 Easter Reflections. So if you are at home worshiping with us, just send us an email real quickly to office@fairlandchurch.com and say you want one of these, and we will make sure that one of those gets mailed out to you in the upcoming week here. Great preparation for our hearts and our minds as we come to this important season of Easter. Two days ago, we began an adventure together as a world, but also as a church. And I just want to take a moment, and there are so many people to thank for this last year. From an amazing worship team that has had to make all kinds of adjustments over the course of the last 12 months, to our church board that has led just really clearly during this time, to our ministry directors who have had to make adjustments in how we do ministry, to our audio-video team that have had tons of adjustments to make, tons of learning to do over the last year, to each one of you that have been willing to come on this journey with us. We know that it has not been fun all the time and it has not been easy all the time, but God has been faithful through it all. And it is great to be here today, and it's great to know that things are looking a whole lot better today than they were a year ago, and we just praise God for that. So I think we need to give each other a round of applause this morning. Yeah, absolutely. I want to start us off this morning by asking a question. Do you have someone in your life who knows you to the core? Like they know, when I say that, they know you inside and out, that person does, right? They can tell you, they can tell what you're thinking at times. This might be a person that can even finish your sentences for you as you begin to speak. You have somebody like that in your life? Somebody that you can kind of put into your mind as that person? That kind of a relationship, that kind of knowledge of somebody, we would refer to that as an intimacy that is there. Many people today are afraid to allow intimacy to happen. Let me ask you this. Have you ever had somebody in your life that knew you in that way, and then they burned you? You feel like they completely let you down. You feel like maybe they even stabbed you in the back intentionally. You feel like maybe they used their knowledge of you and who you are against you. When we are burned enough in life, we tend to go into this mode called protection mode, right? When we are in protection mode, we do our best to not allow anybody to get too close to us because we don't want to be hurt again. It's a natural human response to those kind of situations. One of the results of shutting down is that we become much more lonely and we become much more isolated. When things in life hit us, like hardships, maybe anxieties, they can overwhelm us because we feel like we have nobody to turn to and we have nowhere to go. I have some good news for us this morning, right? We do not have to feel alone. We do not have to allow hardships, to allow anxiety, depression to rule our lives because we have someone in our lives who knows us better than we know ourselves, Scripture tells us. We have someone in our lives with whom we can give our battles to. We have someone in our lives who knows us and loves us. He loves us in spite of knowing every detail of our lives. And that's pretty amazing. The good news is we do not have to, nor can we, hide anything from God. I think knowing this reality is both comforting as well as intimidating, if we're being honest about it. It's a comfort to know that there is somebody who is there with you through the thick and thin of life. But it's also a little bit overwhelming to know that there is someone who knows you better than you know yourself. The most critical thing for us to remember concerning this is that the one who knows us in this manner, this deeply, will never, ever burn you or hurt you. As we study our passage in Psalms this morning, we're going to see that we can trust in God's faithfulness in our lives, despite all the circumstances and all of our faults that he already is well aware of. So I want you to turn with me to the book of Psalms. We're going to go to Psalm 139. If you want to get your Bibles out or open up your apps, Psalm 139, and we're going to read through the first 12 verses together this morning. Starting in verse 1, this is written by David. It says, O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in, behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. The first two verses there simply say, you have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit, and you know when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. First thing I want us to see in this passage that we just read is this, number one, God's knowledge understands me. God's knowledge understands me. David could find comfort in his time of really anxiety here by knowing what God's knowledge allowed God to understand about him. In the same way, you and I can take comfort in the fact that God understands us and what we are going through in life and what we have gone through in life and what we will go through in life. I've dealt with many people, I've talked to many people throughout my life who wanted nothing more than to just be understood by somebody. It's all they needed. This is a cry out from somebody who wants to be understood, who wants to be known by somebody. David took comfort in knowing that to God, he mattered. We all know if we're going to know somebody in the intimate level of what we're talking about this morning, it takes effort. It takes a lot of effort. I'm sure that you've been around folks who have known each other for years, yet it seems like they know very, very little about each other. Maybe it's you. Perhaps you've been around somebody for a long time, and yet know very little about them. Or maybe it's the opposite way, right? Maybe you're the one that knows a ton about the other person, but they haven't put forth the effort to know you in that intimate level. It kind of hurts, right? That scenario happens when a person is absorbed in themselves and they won't take the time to get to know others. David said that you have searched me and you know me. The word search means to try to find something by looking or otherwise seeking careful and thoroughly. Carefully and thoroughly. It can mean to search out, kind of like in a cross-examination kind of scenario, right? However it's done, it implies a great effort that's put forth to get the truth, to the truth of the matter, to discover things about what is being searched or who is being searched. Because of the effort to search David, God knows David. God knows him on this intimate level. In our passage, the word known means to become familiar with something through experience. It indicates there is nothing that God does not know about David. The understanding God has concerning David is comprehensive. He understands all about David. Every aspect of his life, it's complete, it's whole. When David writes in verse 2, "You know when I sit down and when I stand up," it shows that David is so important to God that God knows David's everyday activities. Then verse 2 continues. Says, "You understand my thoughts from afar." So not only are David's activities known by God, but all of his thoughts as well. Even though God can, can feel as though he is far away in the heavens, I don't know about you, but some things go on in my mind that I would rather God not know about, quite frankly. Right? But knowing that God loves me this much despite those things, that's comforting. That allows us to trust God. His love isn't dependent on our actions. How many people in your life would still love you today if they knew every thought that went through your mind over the course of the next month? God does. God loves you because of who he is, not because of who you are. And we should be thankful about that. God loves us not because of who he is, not because of who you are or who I am. You ever done something and when asked why you did it, your reply was something like, you wouldn't understand. You ever done something like that? Somebody asked you why you did it? Your thinking process, you won't understand. That doesn't fly with God because he knows you better than you know yourself. We don't have to fear him. We don't have to fear exposure in our relationship with him. Just back a couple years ago, about a year and a half ago, some of you would be familiar with the Christian comedian John Criss. And in November of 2019, he's a Christian comedian. In November of 2019, it went public. It went on major news networks that John had some serious struggles in his life that came to light. And they plastered him all over the news. All of his failures as a young man, plastered on the news. In one of the articles I read, John Criss acknowledged his sin that was the foundation of his struggle. He said, I've messed up. Here's what's going on in my life. He was exposed and he just dumped it all out at that point. One thing he said that really caught my attention was something like this. It's basically like this. The fear that his sin would be exposed haunted him. It haunted him. You know what? It is exposed. His sin is exposed. But before John's sin was exposed, God knew what John was doing, and God still loves him. Period. Then we jump down to verse 3 and 4 as we continue in our passage. It says, you discern, you observe my going out. Am I lying down? You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, Lord, you know it completely. The second thing I want us to see here is God's knowledge is aware of me. His knowledge is aware of me. This thought is really similar to the previous one, to the first one that we looked at. However, I think verse 3 and 4 takes us a little bit deeper into this idea. David said that God observes his travels and his rest. To observe means to be familiar or aware of a fact or a specific piece of information. Have you ever realized how often it is in a 24-hour day? In a 16-hour day, not when you're sleeping. All the hours of your day except for when you're sleeping. How many times it is in those awake hours that you are photographed or videotaped throughout the day? That you are observed? I've mentioned to you guys before that Rachel and I oftentimes walk through the college campus here in Annville. And as we walk through there are cameras all over the place. On top of buildings, on their little blue light signs, some of them have them. They're everywhere. I am certain that we are observed, that we are watched on those cameras at least a dozen times in the little walk that we do through their campus. It's believed, there's studies that are done or research that's been done that indicates that the average American is caught on camera more than 75 times a day. 75 times a day. And you don't know it for probably 99% of those times. right? You probably don't even notice it happening when it happens. Just think about this, though. You think 75 times a day, that's a lot of times. He's got to be wrong on that. Think about it. Your neighbor's surveillance camera as you come and go every day, right? Their Ring apps, whatever it is. To traffic cameras, to hidden lenses in elevators, as you ride up and down elevators in hospitals or wherever else you might be going, to grocery stores, to banks and ATMs, to dash cameras of oncoming traffic, to the police cameras. Tracking your whereabouts isn't hard with recent advancements in technology. It happens all the time. When we used to live back in Englewood, Ohio, this was before some of that technology was really widespread. Our little town of, or little city of Englewood, they had gotten some grant money, and they put in this incredible, I would call it surveillance camera system throughout the city. And I remember reading in the paper one day where somebody had robbed our local Walmart. And the police were called as the person was leaving. And their mode of action was the dispatcher sat in their room and watched the person drive the streets of Englewood over to a gas station and simply was on the phone with the police saying, "Here's your person, go get him." And the person was arrested at the gas station several miles away. All just watched, observed on these cameras. Honestly, I think it can be a little bit unnerving realizing how often we are photographed without our knowledge. Here's something else that's maybe a little bit unnerving for us. God has us under an even more precise microscope. And we can't go back and manipulate the footage. It gets even deeper. The height of God's knowledge as it relates to human beings is that God can read the very thoughts of an individual before those thoughts are even spoken. So why do we think we cannot go to God when we have messed up in our lives and we're dealing with the pain of life or the fear of life or the anxieties of life? Sometimes it's because we feel shame about them. Or maybe we feel afraid that he's going to reject us as others have. What I'm trying to get at is this. We don't need to feel alone. When we're walking through a painful path, when life is packed full of anxiety, when you are feeling depressed, you can be thankful that we have a God who knows us intimately and sees us constantly and still chooses to love us. We all crave to be important enough to have somebody in our life who cares enough to know us intimately. Verses 5 through 12 through the end. I just want to reread them for us. It says, "You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, 'Surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me,' even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you." Third thing I want us to recognize to see in this passage is God's knowledge is all-powerful. His knowledge is all-powerful. I'm going to kind of keep this one short and to the point. You may wonder how God can know you the way that he does, how he can observe you the way that he does, and how he has the ability to not only know you, but everybody else on the planet to that depth. And I think that's a fair question. I think it's probably a very hard question for our human minds to try to wrap around. I think the answer is kind of simple, too. God's knowledge is all-powerful. It's omnipotent. Because it is based on him being all-present, omnipresent, and all-knowing. We live in a world where sin has had a negative effect on intimacy and the way that we view intimacy, whether in a marriage or with our brothers and our sisters in Christ. In verses 7 and 8, we see David express all of the different ways in which the Lord knows him and knows about him. The amount of intimacy the Lord has with David seems to almost overwhelm David's life. So much so that he goes on in verse 7 and he asks this question. He says, "Where can I flee from your presence? How can I get away?" No matter where we are, there is always a set of eyes on us, aware of our every move and even our thoughts. When we fully trust God, we should be thankful that our weaknesses are so intimately known by God, and yet he still wants to be in relationship with us. Some friends would run away if they knew our secret thoughts, the places that we've gone, or our past or our present habits. Yet God knows our past and the things that we currently struggle with while remaining steadfast in his pursuit for us, even in all of his holiness. In this passage, David praises God and thanks him for his overwhelming presence because of his trust in God, because he knows that God can know all this about him and still desires an intimate relationship with him. Will you work at trusting God? Is my question this morning. Will you work at trusting God in the same way, knowing that God loves you because of who he is, not who you are? The point of application for this passage is simple. We can trust God with our life, our future, because his intimate knowledge of us and continued love and care for us, that's what shows him trustworthy. That's what shows him trustworthy. Lord God, we come to you this morning. We thank you that when we struggle in life, when we mess up in life, that has no impact in your love for us. Sure, you desire for us to get things right and to get back onto the right track so that we can be on the best path that you have planned out for us, that you desire for us. But it doesn't change your love for us. So Lord God, help us to look at a passage like this. And though it can be a little bit overwhelming to know how intimately you know us, help us to see the beauty of that fact, that you intimately know us, and yet you walk with us. You stay with us. You will never stab us in the back or hurt us. But you do this journey of life with us, with that knowledge. Help that to be a trust-building peace for each one of us in our relationship with you. We pray this in your holy name. Amen.